because good food, warm fur. You know, it was a useful thing that the natives would use all of that animal for their benefit. But, you know, even armed with a gun, I don't know if I'd be super thrilled about, you know, like going out after a wolf. I'd want several of the people with me who knew what they were doing. But the natives figured out an easy way to do this. They wanted the wolf. They were going to get the wolf to do the work for them. They would take a knife. They would dip it in blood and they'd let it freeze. They would dip it in blood and let it freeze, dip it in blood and let it freeze, until eventually there was a thick coating on the knife of blood. You know, I said this in middle school. I said blood popsicle. And they'll go, eee! So then the native person would go out and shove it into the ground, hilt down. Not this way, up. So in the middle of the night, while that Inuit's sleeping, here comes the wolf. Great smell, right? They can, you know, they come upon this and they're like, ha ha ha, blood. Yep, blood. What happens to your tongue if you lick a popsicle on a regular basis? Sorry, this will need to be washed now. What happens to your tongue when you lick a popsicle a lot? It gets cold. What happens when your tongue gets cold? Goes numb. So now, the wolf's licking and licking and licking and licking and licking. The blood's coming off, and their tongue is numb. What happens eventually? They slice their tongue. The blood is gone. But then they feel fresh, hot blood. Whose blood is it? Their own. So now, this is the dull side, by the way. Feeding frenzy. Eskimo, Inuit, wakes up in the morning. What do they find? A dead wolf. Job done. Take it home. Is that what it's like for us? Because the wolf kills itself. The wolf feeds into its temptations, into its base instinct. And if we're good Reformed Christians, we believe in our own base instinct through total depravity, as part of TULIP, as part of our Reformed creeds and confessions. We give into temptation, and we're the ones that then spur ourselves on towards that temptation. We do the heavy lifting with Satan sitting in the back, kind of going, and Satan knows, right? Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. For you, for you, for each one of us, Satan knows what's going to get us. Satan knows what's out there. Satan knows how he can. Maybe it's blinding us to things of God. Maybe it's just keeping us busy and distracted. Maybe I look at my own list. You know, there's days it's vengeance. I've been let go from a couple of churches. Boy, would I like to have, you know, a pound of flesh and some just reward for what happened to me. You know, maybe it's lust. Maybe it's alcohol. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I think temptation sounds really good today. I want to be an alcoholic. Nobody wakes up and says, oh, I want to ruin my marriage. Nobody wakes up and says, you know what? I think stint in prison would be kind of nice. You know, don't have to do anything. No, we wake up in the morning and we take one step away from God. We take one, you know, whatever it is that tempts us. Gluttony, maybe? No, I didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, to be obese would be a cool thing and, you know, move towards diabetes, which my doctor says I'm wavering on that. I didn't wake up and do that one morning. I gave in to temptation. And we don't jump over, you know, if temptation and ruined life is over there, we didn't run there right away, right? It was a step at a time. Nobody caught me. Nobody called me out. Nobody said, come on. I wasn't in my Bible that day. Whatever the reason, I took that first step, just like that wolf who goes, hey, that's blood. Now, maybe the wolf doesn't have the mind to understand that, you know, there's a knife under there, but one lick, two, three, four, and then you get that hot, fresh blood. Now we're in there. You're hooked. And that's us, right? That's us when we walk away and don't see temptation as a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. The Word of God, and we're going to read our verse here again. The Word of God says, look, there's answers. There's victory. There's a point to all of this. But we have to be willing together to walk that way. It doesn't have to win. There's always a way back from temptation. And what I'd like you to do today, and I hope you do today, amongst yourselves, whether you're by yourself today or with a family member or wherever you are, what is your temptation? It's nice to talk about temptation, but then, again, going back to my first point, sometimes we really don't see temptation as something, come on, Satan's not after me, oh, come on, it's not that bad. Do we ever say that as kids? It's not that bad. You try and justify it. Oh, come on, Mom, it's not that bad. We tend to ignore it. So if we look at God's Word, and we'll read that those verses again in a minute, you know, it's dealing with this in a real way. It's a real spiritual battle. It's a real issue. Satan would love nothing more to see us just kind of marginalize sin in our lives so that the work of God that he wants in our lives, the reason he sends the Spirit to us in our lives, just kind of takes a back seat, kind of get forgotten, you know? Like, go into the closet. It's okay. It's fun in there. There's probably going to be things that you find in there that are neat. Don't worry about it. You're still a good person. You're not bad. You're not as bad as you could be. So it's all right. And again, that own private little temptation that we like, that own private little sin that we like, you know, well, at least I'm not. I'm not you. I'm not you. You know, I could be really bad. It's not about degrees of badness. It's not about degrees of temptation. It's about that, again, separation from God. If Satan can get us separated from God, thinking differently, walking away, then there's a victory he's winning. And there's less of the gospel being promoted. And there's less of love out in this world. So hear those verses again. If you think you are standing strong, do we? I think sometimes that's where the, I think I'm good. I think I'm all right. I think I'm not as bad as. If you think you're standing tall, that's another, pride is another temptation. So there it is right there in the first verse. If you think, that's why community, God's people is important. Because if I start thinking off the rails and I'm in relationship with the body of believers, if I'm in a Bible study, if I'm having coffee with friends who are like-minded and following Jesus Christ, the if you think might have a chance to be less of what I think and more of what we think, and that think is based on the Word of God and it's our worship of God. So if you think you are standing strong, be careful. Red flag, warning, be careful. God here is telling us, be careful. This is real. He's warning us. You know, it's like we become oblivious to the warnings around us. This summer, last summer, I worked in Saugatuck on the paddle boat, the Star Saugatuck. I don't know how many warning signs you can put up, but it'll never be enough, right? Because if you walk onto the boat, there's the plank, gangplank swings and swings. There's warning. Hang onto the rails. Not everybody hangs onto the rails and you see people stumble and fall. Warning, two steps up, two steps down from the main cabin to the front deck. Boom, people are falling. You're like, so be careful. I highlighted it in red in here because you have to be careful. And again, that's a community thing, right? It's not just, I got to be careful. But if I see somebody, my job on the boat was to say, oh, as you step out of the main cabin onto the front deck, you got two up, two down. Oh, okay. Your warning. For our friends, if you see, hey, you know what, I've noticed X, Y, or Z, and that doesn't come from pride, it comes from humility. Is that really the path we should be on? My grandma always said it great, my little Dutch Oma Dirkja. She'd be at our house for a month every winter, down from Linden, Washington to Bellflower, California, and we knew the rules growing up, didn't always obey them, but we knew the rules in our house, things we could do and couldn't do. those rules changed a little bit when grandma and grandpa showed up. You know, TV went off a lot more. Movies didn't get, you know, music. You know, but my grandma's favorite saying, if she caught us doing something, was, "You mean to do that, may you?"
Yeah.
It wasn't don't. It was that you mayn't do that. What my grandma wasn't sure of, but what she was trying to do is to get us to think about what that next action would be. Right? To me as a kid, it just felt like guilt. You mayn't do that, may you? I don't know. When you're not around, we can. But maybe that's a good question for each of you. We shouldn't do that, should we? We may need to do that. Like, if I profess Jesus Christ, is that really something for me to live into? Is that really something for me to dip the toe in the water? Because we know if we dip the toe in the water, how long is it going to be before we jump in or somebody pushes us in? Every middle school pool party, right? Oh, I wonder what the water's... Yeah, you're in. Oh, shoot, I forgot to take my phone out. You know, like... So somehow, some way, if we just start putting our foot in the water, we're already a step into it. So be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. There's verses that talk about the commonality of temptations in our life, you know. A number of years ago, there were some very dear friends that if I had not confessed with them and to them, I'd probably be struggling with some stuff, same as I had for years and years and years. But guess what? When I said, here's what I struggle with, all those men in the room, yeah, me too. I wish we had a little display built into us that walked around and it said, Ty Hogue, and it would just scroll what my temptation issues are. Because then I could walk up, oh, you too. So we're in this together. Be careful so that these temptations don't... Good, we can talk about this and the group of people that deal with that, we can talk and support about... this and the group that deal with that, we can talk and support, because God brings us into this body together. The temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. So there's a commonality, but we like to, when I lived in Pella, Iowa, every building had to have a Dutch front. Now that was buildings, but we know better if we're a good Dutch folk, right? Oh, we got to look good. We got to have the Dutch front on us. Like, I don't have, well, I'm put together. I'm okay. I'm squared away. But the temptations that come into your life are no different than what others experience. And here's the good news. And God is faithful. God is faithful. The power of God in our lives, He will make a way. He is faithful. He will not be able to do anything against His will. He will not be able to break His promise. He will not be able to do anything that doesn't lead us to where He wants us to be eventually. Now, we're going to kick and scream along the way. We're going to make our stupid choices along the way. But it's saying, God is faithful. God's plans cannot not happen. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give into it. Again, He will show us the ways. He will show us the places. Again, we have a level of choice then that we have to make. You know, for many of the sins in my life, well, yeah, again, you go back to, it's not that bad. Or it's like, I've been pretty good. You know, whatever we're going to rationalize. I've been pretty good lately. I'm not as bad as them. Again, but God will show you a way out. Like, it's that moment. We said it with our girls when they're little. If, like, wouldn't it be great? I think there's a movie like this by Adam Sandler, but if you had a pause button in life, hey, you stupid, beep, pause. Oh, wait. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Hey, you have upset me. Don't upset me anymore. Could you make a different choice? You know, if we had that pause button in our lives, but I think there's this level with God. It's like, He will make a way. We can tend to ignore it. We can tend to push past it. We can tend to say, eh, not this time. But God will make a way. He is faithful. He is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He just doesn't want us to separate ourselves from Him. But yet, we do have that opportunity and ability. So which one are we going to do? Are we going to let Satan kind of lead us away one by one? Or are we going to take times in our life to reflect? Are we going to take life together as the people of God and say, you know what? There's this community that's important. There's this community that matters. And it's not just shaking hands in the back of the church. It's just not eating a cookie. It's, how are you doing? How can I share your burden and struggle? How can I pray for you? How can I pray with you? It's even so important. Sorry, my mind's going about 10 different ways, because it's just, we've missed as a family that community for about a year and a half now. We've been to several churches, but I'm not working in a church right now. So we're not in a home church right now. But just that community is so important for us to stay on task, because it's God blessing each of you for each other, for His glory, for His purpose, for His power, for His kingdom, for His will to be done, all these things. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, maybe there's only 50 of us in this room together. Praise God! There's 50 of us in this room together that God has called at this place and this time to love each other. How can I love and help you? How can we walk together with each other? How can I say, you know what, where do you need encouragement? Where do you need blessing? Where do you need that swift kick in the behind? Growing up at my little Long Beach Christian Reformed Church out in California, Mr. Grassmeyer, if I was acting like an idiot, would give me a swift kick in the behind. Alice Dykstra would probably, now Ty, yes ma'am, Mrs. Grassmeyer would have probably pulled me by the ear and dragged me over to my parents. You know, and that stops at a certain age, but it shouldn't. Love and spur each other on. Learn each other's temptations. Sounds like a weird thing to say. So that we can be there. We're part of God's assistance. We're part of God's plan for this. James talks about this in James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it in the end. I know I'm proof texting a little bit. But there's so many wonderful verses in God's Word that says, together in the community, the body of fellowship, we are there for each other. We are how God chose to walk through this word, based on world, based on His Word, based on His Spirit with us. But we are the people God, there's no mistake in this room. God wanted us here this morning to be with one another, to spur each other on, to love each other, to say, you know what? It'll be okay. Not as a platitude, but it'll be okay because I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm here if you need to share something that hurts and that's broken. I'm here to be a part of your life, and I need you to be a part of mine. Because these temptations are common to each other. These temptations are part of the battle to live as people who are already there because we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. But we're not there yet, because we still have to live in this world. We still have to continue on. We still have to move forward, and we'll stumble and fall. I got a lot more, but I'm going to end with this. The last couple years of ministry that I had at Overijssel were phenomenal. But, you know, through COVID and through a bunch of other stuff, it got difficult, right? These last few years have not been easy. You know, when you start talking about, especially the values that the world want to kind of put out there as better values, things relating to gender, sexuality, things relating to our viewpoint and our worldview, it's tough. It's weird. It's strange. But God's church, because of the Holy Spirit, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the Word of God, is the answer. And it should be anybody that walks through the back doors of our churches. Everybody is welcome. I don't care what your issue is, but guess what? I have an issue too. There is no get out of jail free card for you were born that way. It's called original sin. We're all born that way, some way. A way, one level of sin isn't It might have different consequences in this world, but one level of sin isn't like, ooh, those are the really icky sins, and those are the really, well, not so bad sins. It's all an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. It's all disgusting. But it's like, come on in, because we all have issues, and guess what? We're walking, it's not a cross in here, is it? Oh, it's behind that screen. We're all walking to the cross, right? We're all walking towards what Jesus calls us to in his word, to the cross, to the key of salvation, God's death, or Jesus' death and resurrection, his sacrifice for us. So, oh, you fell off the wagon. Come on. Get up. Let's go. Whatever your wagon is and whatever my wagon is. Oh, if I fell today, I need you to pick me up tomorrow. We need us each other. To say, you know what? Temptation has an effect, but it doesn't get to win. Temptation has its consequences, but it doesn't get to win because Christ is victor. God will make a way. God has the power. So let's get up. Let's move to the cross. It's okay if you're in the back row or in the front row. It's okay, but we're together. Let's move to the cross. You fell and stumbled, I fall and stumble. Let's move to the cross so that temptation doesn't get the final word. Because it's really a fight. It's really real. But God will make a way. And Christ is already victor. God's plan cannot be thwarted. He is sovereign over us all. He is king. He is power. He is majesty and glory. And someday we'll be presented before him. Blameless because of Jesus, not before ourselves. But if because we see what's going on in the world and we can help others not have to go through those temptations, minimize those temptations, deal with what's life, and bring that glorious promise of what life in Christ can look like, then that's our job. Let's pray. So much to say on this, Lord. So much that we can grow from, because temptation is there every day in our lives. Temptation, maybe it whispers. Maybe it sidetracks us. Maybe it's got a hold of us in big, giant, enormous ways that we don't know where to go, what to do. But Lord, you do. You gave us your word. You gave us prayer. We sang the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That prayer, that connection with you. But it doesn't have to be private. Only prayer. It can be prayer as people together. It can be praying for one another. Lord, don't let temptation sidetrack us from what you want for us. Don't let the shame from temptation cast us out, but draw us together. Because it's a shared shame. It's something that we can all identify with. But in the end, Lord, to repent, to turn, to move further and further closer to you through your word and through prayer and through the people. Lord, let that be our goal. Let that be our experience. Let that be what marks us as your people. In Christ's name, amen.